Good morning, everyone. Church family, how are we doing today? All 10 of you? We are a small but mighty crowd this morning, I would say, right? Well, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, right? Amen? Amen. The Lord has again blessed us with a beautiful day of life, and in that, we can rejoice. So, welcome to the Alameda Christian Reformed Church. My name is Melinda Postma, and I am so glad that you are all here this morning so that we can worship the Lord together. And if you, this is really hot, isn't it? Is it, how's it up there, Tom? Okay? Okay, great. Okay, so, I don't see other than our dear friends here from Oregon, visiting my dear friends, Mike and Heather from Adair Village Church up in Oregon. They're in town for my nephew's wedding, which took place last night. Mike officiated and Heather helped things go smoothly. So we're so glad that you're here worshiping with us this morning. So thank you. If you have a prayer request, there are yellow cards in the pews that you can fill out and let us know about those requests. And we would love the opportunity to pray for you. So if you are in need or you have a friend or a family member or know of anyone who is in need of prayer, you can let us know about how we can pray for you through those cards. Another way to let us know about your prayer requests is to send an email to the prayer chain. And that email address, you can find that on the back of your bulletins. Some announcements. Potluck Sunday is today, so we look forward to enjoying some good food together, a fun time of fellowship. So that is going to happen after service. Whether you brought something or not, doesn't matter. Please join us for a good meal and again a time of fellowship after the service. If you are at all involved in any type of ministry with children, or if you are working with children in any capacity here at the church, you are asked to come to the Safe Church training meeting, which will take place next Sunday, the 24th, after the service, the morning service, in the fellowship hall. So this is something that the state requires. Hopefully you've already been fingerprinted. If you haven't already been fingerprinted, that's something that you need to do, and you can contact our church secretary, Denise. Shoot her an email or give her a phone call to find out how you can go about doing that. But the training is also important and required. So if that applies to you, please plan on staying for the Safe Church training after the service next week. There is a new coffee server schedule that has gone out. Hopefully you have received that. An email went out this week. Denise put up the schedule on the bulletin board in the church hallway. If you haven't received that, again, get in touch with Denise about getting a hold of that schedule. And basically, everyone's been assigned a Sunday, a partner to help serve coffee on that Sunday. And if you need to switch for some reason, if you have conflict that Sunday, we ask that you please take it upon yourself to find someone to either switch with you or to take your place for that Sunday. Something else that we're bringing back, which I think is really fun, and Todd and I are excited to participate, and we hope that you'll join us, is the host family. This is something that our church did years ago, and then we started doing potlucks here at church, so that sort of replaced the host family ministry that we had. But this is an opportunity to provide a meal. It doesn't have to be fancy, just, you know, a simple meal to share with visitors that come to church or people that are newcomers that have started to attend regularly but are still new to the church. It's geared towards them, but you can also invite whoever you would like to invite into your home for a meal, a more intimate setting, to get to know one another and fellowship with one another. So there is a schedule for that as well. And if you are interested in participating, that is a great way to serve in each other and to serve the Lord, please sign up for that. There's a link to sign up for that and get in touch with Denise about that as well. So I think we hope to start that in the month of October. I looked over the sign-up sheet, and the first Sunday was in October. And that's going to happen, hopefully, the second and fourth Sundays of the month. What's coming up this week for our church? So, I think we have the prayer meeting, although two of our key members are not here. It's virtual? Okay, thank you for that. So, the prayer meeting that takes place on Mondays at 7, it's going to be virtual. So if you would like the link for that, come see who one of the prayer warriors who comes faithfully. Can they? Okay, well, if you would like to join that, come see me and I'll pass the information along to Luann and get you that link. But the prayer service meeting will be virtual tomorrow. Something else that's coming up, Wednesday, CS Lewis Society at 7 o'clock. Please look at your bulletins for more details and information about all the things that I've mentioned thus far. And lastly, the O family, who is the missionary family that we support, who is serving in the Philippines. They've asked for prayer. They're going to be heading down to the southern part of Chile. Charles is going to be teaching new pastors and leaders, and his wife, Hensel, is going to be running a youth ministry there. So they just ask for prayer for safe travels and for God's blessings on their ministries there. So I believe those are all the announcements that I have. So if you would please stand for our call to worship. I'm going to read it the old-fashioned way. Does everyone have a bulletin? If you don't have a bulletin, can you raise your hand? Okay, fantastic. Oh, it's up.
All right.
Keeping us on our toes, it's great. All right. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 27 and John chapter 4. And if you would respond with the words in yellow. Let us worship God, our light and our salvation. We desire to live in God's house and to seek God in his holy temple.
We have come with shouts of joy to sing and to make music to the Lord.
Let us worship God in spirit and in truth.
Teach us your ways and make straight our paths in this hour of worship and always.
And now I'm going to invite Heather to come up and help me lead praise songs this morning. All right, Elaine, you come on up too. No, you're going to stay right there. You stay right there, Elaine. And let's lift up our voices and our hearts to the Lord in praise. And we're going to start off with Day by Day, which just happened to be, this was one of my dad's favorite hymns. So let's sing together.
Thank you.
Congregation, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
So now we're going to move into the renewal portion of our service, and to prepare our hearts for that, let us sing softly and tenderly Jesus is calling together. Let us say this prayer of confession together. Almighty and loving God, we confess our sins to you, our sins you've warned us not to do, our sins of failing to do what you commanded us to do. We confess that we put our hope and trust in other gods besides you and in place of you. Jesus, in your mercy, forgive us and hear our prayer. By the Holy Spirit's power, help us to worship you, the only true God, to trust in you alone, and to look to you for every good thing. Humbly and patiently, we commit again to following your ways and to love, fear, and honor you with all our hearts. We pray in Jesus' perfect and precious name. Amen. And now this assurance of pardon. Friends, the good news of the gospel is that we share in the glory of Jesus Christ as the first fruits of God's love, saved not by our works, but by God's grace. This eternal encouragement strengthens us to respond to God through gratitude in word and deed. And all God's people say, Amen, Hallelujah. And now let's sing in a response of thanksgiving for his grace, My Jesus, I love thee.
Jesus, I love thee, I know thy
So the lectionary reading today, again, as you know, is being read around the world. And it's kind of neat to see, think it's being read thousands of miles away in hundreds of different languages, right? But also, the psalm that we'll read today was read thousands of years ago, also thousands of miles away. So we are nothing if not consistent in our worship of God. Psalm 103, verse 1 through 13. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost beings, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for the oppressed. He makes known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, we praise you and thank you with all that we have and all that we are.
Hello.
Thank you for your beautiful creation and for all of your blessings in our lives.
We're in the middle of the church service.
Our cup truly runneth over. Thank you for the people in this church, for their commitment to serve each other, and for the joy of our fellowship. Thank you for choosing us to be part of your grand plan of salvation and for giving us the opportunity to seek your kingdom in this world. Forgive us for when we fall short and fail to clearly reflect your love and grace to others. We pray for guidance for your churches in the world, but especially in this country, that you would be pleased to fill it with truth and peace and love. Where it is corrupt, purify it. Where it is in error, direct it. Where in anything it is amiss, please reform it. Where it is right, establish it. Where it is in want, provide for it. Where it is divided, reunite it. For the sake of Jesus who died and rose again, and ever lives. Bless your holy gospel that it may be faithfully proclaimed, that the world could be filled with the knowledge of your truth. To that end, may we all be workers in your field to plant, water, and harvest a people for your name. But frustrate the works of those who would sow weeds of heresy and discord. Please give fatherly attention to your servants who suffer persecution for the sake of the gospel. And strengthen them in mind and body by your Spirit through the means of grace. Rule us by your word and Spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. We keep your church strong and we add to it. We ask that you bless this church as we seek your kingdom in this world and in our search for a pastor. Guide us, Lord, to the person you have planned for us. In the meantime, provide strength and guidance as we minister to each other and put your word into the mouths of those who preach for us. We thank you for those who are willing to serve. Please bring healing to those in need of it. We especially raise up Helen and Arinda, Keiko and Diane, Esther and Paulina, and Camille. We raise up Nikki and Christy. We think of Pastor Dave and Pastor Kyle, and all those, Lord, near and far, who need your healing grace. In all things, Lord, may your name be glorified and your will be done. Amen. And to call the deacons forward, the offering for today is the general fund.
Kids at? All two of you. Come on down. Yeah, it's awesome. You are precious to the Lord. You are precious to us. And why don't you stand so we can bless you before you go off to Kids Connection? So, the blessing for the children is, I should have this memorized. Oh, there it is. All right. Okay, congregation, let's say to the kids, the Lord be with you. All right. And they're off. They are off. God bless you all. You're going to have a great time led by Carlos and Lindsay. And now we welcome Pastor Mark. Thank you so much for being here. And God bless you as you bring us his word.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good morning, everyone. I'm not used to this new pulpit yet. I'm still working on that. It's great to be with you this morning. It's great for us to be together, to worship the Lord and to enjoy one another's fellowship and to look into God's word this morning. I'm really glad that you are reinstituting the host family deal, because one of the ways in which I got to know Jack and Ann a little bit better was when I first came here to preach. It must have been 15 years ago. They were the host families of the day, and I got a chance to go over to their house and have a meal with them and got to know them. So I think that's a wonderful program for you. This morning, we're looking at some verses in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 31. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is not he the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. This is the word of the Lord. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to play a game of chess against a grandmaster. It wasn't a long game of chess. It wasn't a formal game of chess because I wouldn't fare well against a master, let alone a grandmaster. But it was a huge honor for me to be able to play online against a grandmaster, because there are only about 1,500 grandmasters throughout the world. And generally, you have to pay for the privilege of being beaten by a grandmaster. Is that better? Okay, my apologies. Let's start over. Good morning, everybody. No, I'm kidding. So I played this grandmaster, a game of chess online. It was a very short game because it was a very short time control. It was called a bullet game. Each individual got only a minute or two on the clock. And if you ran out of your minute or two time, you lose automatically. So it was a very quick game. But I was excited because here is a possibility of playing a grandmaster, and maybe I could beat him and tell all my friends that I beat a grandmaster. So we started to play. We were moving quite quickly, and I was keeping my own. I was doing the best I could, and I realized partway through the game that I had more time on my clock than he had on his clock, and that got me very excited, because even if I couldn't outplay him over the board, maybe he would run out of time, and I would be the victor, and so I began throwing my pieces all over the place and moving my king around, and with a couple seconds left on the clock, the grandmaster cornered my king in the middle of the board and checkmated me. And then he sent me this message on the internet. He said, "Close, but no cigar. Close, but no cigar." That was the one opportunity I have had to play a grandmaster, and I didn't make it. I got close, but I didn't beat him. When we try to earn favor with God, when we try to become right with God by our own actions, we might get close, but we don't get there. We fall short because Romans chapter 3 teaches us that all are sinners and fall short of the glory of God. It's popular in our culture to think that, well, if we just do our best, we're doing all right. We're doing okay. Maybe 20, 50, 100 years ago, people thought, well, if I work really hard and I do what I can do and I'm better than the average person, then I can get to heaven. Well, today, even that requirement has been relaxed. We preach kind of a salvation by death. If you die, well, you're okay with God because, well, unless you're a murderous dictator or a serial killer, you're going to heaven. Everybody goes to heaven, right? Except the horrible, horrible people in our society. Scripture teaches us that we're all sinners. All of us. A well-known pastor of a megachurch one time was on an airplane. And he began to talk to the man who was seated next to him. And they got talking about spiritual things. And the man who was sitting beside the pastor said, well, you know, I don't really have a need for church. You see, I live a pretty good life and I do the best I can. And, you know, God's going to honor that, right? So the pastor pulled out a blank sheet of paper and he drew a line at the top of the page and a line at the bottom of the page. And then the line at the top of the page, he said, okay, this is the perfect life. This is leading the sinless life, doing nothing wrong ever. And he pointed to the line at the bottom of the page and he said, well, this is a horrible life. This is a 0 out of 100. This is as bad as you possibly can be. This is the territory of Adolf Hitler and Jeffrey Dahmer. And the pastor said to the man, now put an X on this page where you think Mother Teresa would land in her life. Man thought, and he said, well, you know, she lived a good life. She touched a lot of people. She went to Calcutta, India, and worked with some of the poorest of the poor and raised money and ministered to the people there. So she lived a really good life, a really self-sacrificial life. So he put an X about 2/3 of the way toward the top of the page. What a good life that she led. Then the pastor said to her, well, where would you put Billy Graham? Where would you put him on the page? He thought for a minute, well, he's a preacher and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and he touched a lot of lives throughout the world through a very long ministry. And so he led a good life as well. And he put an X about halfway up the page, a little bit lower than Mother Teresa. Then the pastor said, well, where would you place yourself on that page? And the man thought and said, well, I guess a little bit below Billy Graham, because I haven't done a whole lot in my life. So he put an X further down. Scripture tells us that none of us gets to the 100%. None of us lives the perfect life. None of us is there. We are dependent on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus came into the world, lived a life like ours, so he understands us. But he lived the sinless life. And because of his sinless life and his sacrifice on the cross, only that way are we able to come before God and be completely forgiven and completely acceptable to him. It's not our own righteousness that is good enough. Excuse me, it's a righteousness given to us of God. Not of our own doing, but of God's doing. And all of us need that because all of us are sinners. All of us are rebellious. All of us ignore God's law at some point and in some way. It's very easy for us to look at other people and say, well, they don't live up to our standards. They don't live up to God's standards. And so we can criticize them. The truth is, we are the same way. We too fall short. Because sinfulness is not merely a series of actions that we do or actions that we have left undone. We tend to think of actions as sins as activities, sins as behaviors. But sin is much more broad in our lives. Sin is throughout our lives. It's not that we forget to do something or we do something that we shouldn't have done. It's that we as humans are pointed in the wrong direction. The Reformed Christian doctrine of total depravity teaches us that sin has made its way into every part of our lives. There's not a portion of our lives that is not touched by sin. Every area sin is involved. Sin creeps its way into our politics. Sin creeps into our lives in our economics. Sin creeps its way into our relationships, our sexuality, every way in which we can function. Sin has found its place in there. And we need forgiveness from that. We need a new direction in our lives. We need to be turned around. We might say, well, what about church? You know, we read scripture in church. How can sin be involved in our church practice? Well, organization of church is run by human beings. Human beings who make decisions make mistakes. Human beings who make decisions often look at their own priorities rather than God's priorities. So even within church, as hard as we try to become perfect and sinless, we're dependent upon God. All of us within church as well. We might say, well, what about science? Sin can't possibly be involved in science. We need to follow the science. Science is factual. There's no sin in science in our work within science. There may be areas in which there are indisputable facts like 2 + 2 = 4. But human beings in our process of apprehending science and making use of science, yes, sin creeps its way in there. We make mistakes. We go the wrong direction. We do things that are not good. We may say that science is perfectly pure, dealing only with the facts. But how is science apprehended in our lives and in our society? Studies are done to learn the truth. Yet we find pharmaceutical companies are far more interested in coming up with the latest diet drug than treating diseases that may be much more important and much more significant. Why is that? Because the dollar comes into play. Pharmaceutical companies want to make money, and so they may leave undone that area of science that would be a great benefit to human beings because they want to make money. It's kind of curious that in the 1940s and the 1950s, cigarette companies issued study after study that showed that nicotine is not addictive. It showed that smoking is good for your health. How did they do that? How is that possible? Were they telling the truth? Well, obviously not from what we know now, but how could they do that? Well, they put together a study that was 95% tolerance, which meant this study says to a 95% degree of certainty that this is true. In other words, if they did 20 studies, 19 of those studies would tell us the truth. One study would be flawed. What did the cigarette companies do? Well, they kind of buried those 19 studies that they did and only showed the studies that told everybody smoking is good for you. Yes, science and the way in which God has placed the world together is true. There are facts involved. When people apprehend that, suddenly we're going in the wrong direction. Romans 3 tells us that we need a savior. Romans 3 tells us that we have a Savior. The Savior has come into the world for us. And Romans 3 gives us an insight into our relationship with other people. It gives us an insight in how to move forward in relationships with others because we realize we're all in the same boat. We are all sinful human beings. Therefore, when we criticize other people, we need to slow down and say, wait a minute, what gives us the right to criticize that other person? It's been said that we see the world not as it is. We see the world as we are. Therefore, when we criticize somebody else, very often we're criticizing that which exists in ourselves. I am a fairly good chess player, and I don't feel particularly critical of other people in their playing of chess. I can teach somebody the game of chess and they can make some rudimentary moves and they can make the most terrible moves in the position. And I'll say, hey, you're playing great. This is wonderful. Keep playing. Just keep trying. Keep learning. I'm cheering them on because I feel good about my chess playing ability. At the same time, I'm not a very good singer. I am not talented in that area at all. I love music and I can hear beautiful singers and appreciate their ability to sing. But one, sometime anybody misses a single note of a song that they're singing, I'll say, ah, ha, ha, you're not a good singer. Why do I do that? It's because I don't feel good about my singing. And so it is when we criticize other people. Often we say more about ourselves than we're saying about that person that we're criticizing. We are warned not to criticize other people because criticism makes us look bad, sometimes even more than the person that we're criticizing. And so if you hear somebody criticize, you can say to yourselves, I know a little bit about that person who's doing the criticizing. I know what they don't like about themselves. It also gives us instruction in how we can deal with judging. When we judge other people, do we find them to fall short? Well, of course we do. Do we find people who have offended us? Of course we do. Do we find people committing sin against God and against other people? Of course we do, because we are all sinners. Romans 3 gives us an insight into how to deal with these other people that we criticize, or that we judge, or that we condemn. If we are tempted to criticize somebody else, what we need to do is look into our own behavior and see what in us is wrong. See what we have done that's similar to what we are criticizing in this other person. And often that'll give us an insight in the direction in which we need to grow, in which we need to move, in which we need to apologize to God, because that's a problem that we likely have ourselves. If we bear a grudge against someone else, we don't want to forgive them because of something that they've said or something that they've done. Romans 3 gives us the idea that we need to look at ourselves and say to ourselves, what have we done? What have I done that's similar to what that person has done to me? Usually we don't have to scratch too far below the surface to realize that, yeah, I've done something similar. I may not have done that exact same thing that that person has done to us. I may not have hurt that person or hurt somebody else in exactly the same way. But I've hurt other people. And I need to apologize for that. For all of the things that divide us apart, one person from another. All the many differences, whether they be genetics, gender, race, culture, that which brings us together is the fact that we all need God. Of all the things that divide us in humanity, that which brings us together is the forgiveness that we receive through Jesus Christ. The forgiveness that covers over all sins, that covers all evil, covers all mistakes. A free gift of God, because God's love is so great for us. His concern is so wonderful that he gives us a way to enter into heaven and to build a new life, to make relationships that are pleasing to him, to act in ways that glorify him, not of our own doing, but only through forgiveness that we receive in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank you
most wonderful stories.
Well, hey,
your overwhelming gift of forgiveness.
Do
we know when we confess that we are all sinners?
No, no, I've monopolized too much of your time.
Yet your love is so great. You enable us to have a complete righteousness imputed to us through Jesus Christ. So that when you look down upon us, you do not see our sinful nature and our actions, our mistakes, ways in which we have hurt one another and hurt ourselves and hurt you. You look down on us and see the purity of Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you for that. We pray that as a result, we can live a life in response to you, in response to your grace, in response to your love that reflects your love. Help us in all that we do to show love to you and show love to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Receive God's parting blessing. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen.